Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
I am the table! I am the table! I am the table! I am the table!
All right, guys, welcome to another excellent episode of Talk of the Table. I am joined, as always, by both Podfather himself, Mags.
It's a bit presumptuous to say excellent before we've actually done the recording. It may
be
very mediocre.
You are always excellent, sir.
No, I'm always excellent. I'm just saying the podcast in general may not be excellent.
We've never had a bad show which has been released, anyway.
Sure.
Right. And, of course, we are joined by His Lordship Conrad, obviously, from Tropics and Near Falls. And Mags, that's 2 minutes. That's not a bow, Mags. One more bow. There you go, sir. Excellent. Lovely. How is your swimming pool, sir?
It is good. It's getting too cold to go swimming now, so.
Okay, so he's
it's rather disappointing.
Good for in for an horse. Right, okay. Now, of course, Mags, we are joined by a great guest. Would you like to introduce our guest first, Mags?
Listen, when I get guests, I get guests. I know that we've been let down a couple of times over the last few weeks, but this guest certainly makes up for it. She's one of the highlights of wrestling Twitter, and someone who, when she puts her mind to it, puts out some amazing content, and she could easily go far in this game. It's Jess from Jess Watches Wrestling.
Hello there.
It's an absolute pleasure to have your good stuff on this show.
Well, thank you very much for having me on this lovely... It's actually not raining, so that's a plus side.
It's always a good thing when it's not raining, definitely. But we'll get the floodgates open, as it were, and get some ranting on the way.
I am the table!
We let the guests go first, so Jess, talk at the table.
What am I ranting about? Because you know what? I can go for it. You know I can rant.
You can rant about whatever in the last fortnight or so of wrestling has pissed you off, or what's made you smile. Just some topics about wrestling that you really want to get off your chest.
Can we talk about how some of the draft was absolutely ridiculous?
We certainly can.
I've got the draft myself a few times. So what in particular, Jess, for you?
Mixed opinions on obviously the New Day splitting up. I get, you know, from one side they want to give Big E the push, but what are they doing? They are a team, they are adorable, them three together, an absolute joke. Heavy Machine, it's all the tag teams that have just it's wound me up about the tag teams, I'm not gonna lie, not really know what's going on. I've had a bit of a, I don't know, wrestling just the last few months, I've struggled so much to watch it. Even trying to do videos on it, I've struggled because I'm like, all I'm going to do is moan. And I don't want to moan all the time because it's not what I want to do and I like it as a passion. But It's hard. It's been hard to watch. And I just feel like, oh, for God's sake, here we go again.
Yeah, I agree. I think some of the moves were needed. There's people who needed to like be refreshed. The likes of Kevin Owens, The Fiend going back to Raw, thought they were good ideas. Jeff Hardy going to Raw, I think that's a great move. The tag team champions swapping just made the tag titles look absolutely ridiculous. I get the issue with Big E technically being split by the New Day, but I think it's more a case of they want the New Day brand on both shows. So I don't think they split in terms of they'll never like speak again. It's just the splitting between the two brands.
I've got a feeling they'll end up turning up on Survivor Series together as a team sort of thing, you know, that sort of thing. During the Rumble especially if they do a Rumble this year, there's been talk about it, might not. I was gutted that if they split Tucker up from Otis. I mean, if they're going to do it, I would have understood if Otis had gone to Raw along with Jomo and Miz. Because Mandy's already there anyway, but it made perfect sense to send Otis to Raw. But they haven't. They left him on SmackDown with, let's face it, once this, quote, legal challenge out of the way, because Miz ain't getting the money in the bank from that, I don't feel. Otis is then going to be left on his own with money in the bank to cash in against probably Roman.
Yeah, and I think with Heavy Machinery, it's kind of the biggest kind of way you show that a team together is better than the sum of the parts. I think Tucky will struggle on his own, and I think Otis on his own is not as good as is when he's got that kind of like the backup from Tucker. So yeah, I fear for both those guys.
I don't think they're personally like strong enough on their own. Mm-hmm. I don't think they are. Sorry about sounding rude to them, but they're not strong enough on their own.
Yeah. Some people have always been better with a tag team than they have been alone. I mean, no, just going back in time, of course. The Dudleys, prime example. Devon and Bubba, phenomenal team. Mm. Bubba succeeded on his own, no question about that. But Devon never really made it as a single star, did he? I mean, he had moments, but yeah. He never had a breakout career.
It did okay in Impact when he was part of the Aces and Eights storyline. But yeah, in the WWE, Deacon Batista just didn't work whatsoever.
No, it didn't work with them.
Not but you know, yeah. brother Devon.
Reverend Devon. Yeah. Oh, testify!
Yeah.
They took a word that he used and they tried to make it a whole gimmick. It didn't really work. Mm-hmm. But they did try. I don't know, Conrad, do you have the same sort of opinions?
Yeah, I think they've really kind of... Well, first of all, they've kind of stuck the middle finger up to tag team wrestling, really. The only real kind of benefits is you've kind of got Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn on SmackDown.
Yes, they're back together.
They're just entertaining, and I'm really excited for that. But then I think they've kind of shot themselves in the foot with Otis, because obviously they've moved everybody in that story over to Raw, and he's like on his own on SmackDown. And I feel that Otis is kind of one of those characters that's over because he's got like other people to kind of play off of, kind of. So kind of like, I don't want to be like kind of like Patrick Starr in SpongeBob, or like any of like the side characters in any TV shows. And like he's kind of one of those ones that's kind of like endearing because he's got like others, kind of like with Mandy and Tucker. And I feel it was kind of like a bit of a waste on the Money in the Bank thing, because he did say that he was going to try and cash in with for the tag titles with Tucker. But then now, like, where does that leave him? Because I don't think anybody buys him beating Roman, like, at all. And it's a shame, because it's just wrong timing.
Stop, Matt.
Point of order. Sit down, young man. Sit down. I will happily champion the fact that Otis not only will cash in on Roman, but he will beat Roman. Oh.
Don't talk.
Do you know what? I don't know if I could cope with that.
No. Roman as champion now needs to be champion till someone like The Rock or Seth Rollins takes the title off him.
Didn't say he'd had it for long. Like
2 seconds.
But I do genuinely think...
0 seconds.
I have a feel... that it'll be a case of maybe the Usos screw him out of the title and then gets his title back like at the next pay-per-view sort of thing, or even the next SmackDown. I can see that happening, because that sort of thing, for like you just do like get the money back off of him without getting off of him, as it were. And Otis deserves his moment in the sun, if you ask me.
That's horrific. I'd rather be longer than that.
It's WCW booking, and it worked. It was all right for them back in the day.
Yeah, look where they are now.
Well, that's a good point.
They're on TNT pretending to be AEW.
Yeah. I dare say we'll get to that another point. There were some good things about the draft, though. I mean, Matt Riddle's gone to Raw now, obviously, which is something a lot of people are happy about. They've switched things up. I mean, I think Dana Brooke's gone to SmackDown now, hasn't she?
I believe so.
I like that, because they were starting to push her with Mandy Rose. Obviously, Mandy's on Raw still. But Dana Brooke's got all the ability. She's needs a bit more. But I think that if they push her right, she could be a big star.
I've said this all along. Dana Brooke, I've always liked her, and I've always said she's so underrated, and they do not give her that push. And I was kind of liking her and Mandy together. As much as Mandy Rose, I'm not the biggest fan, but I was kind of liking it, and I hope Dana Brooke just gets something, because she really does deserve it.
Mm-hmm. This is going to be something rather crazy, but in theory, before the end of Hell in a Cell, we could have two brand new women's champions in... And that would be that could beat Sasha, although I think Bayley will probably win that and it'll move on to WrestleMania, like just got before, obviously, guys. But, and I can't even say these words out loud, but hear me out. Lana could be the next Raw Women's Champion.
Oh my God, I'd love it. I would love it.
No.
Yes.
What? That would, that if that happens, that is Vince McMahon sticking two fingers up to Miro.
Oh, 100%.
I can see it because I, and hear me out for my, hear me out for my thinking here, Max, all right? Because I know Conrad is looking like he wants to throw up, but
Max, that's just his normal face. That's very it. Rude of you.
The question is, does anyone not think Natalya is not going to get involved in this match? I think Natalya gets involved in the match. Costs Asuka the title by accident.
That is, if Lana, I mean, I like Lana as a character, but as a wrestler, she's one of the worst. She's up there with like Nia Jax level of skills. For her to be the best female wrestler on Raw, that's taking the piss.
To be fair, I don't see her keeping it for long. But in theory, we could, at the end of Monday Night Raw next week, see Lana as the Raw Women's Champion. It is a literal possibility.
That's a horrible take, Matt.
Didn't say it'd be popular, Mags. I said it's possible. We could see it.
And the thing is, you are right, because Vince has not exactly booked Asuka as the best since she's been on main roster. And how many times has she been screwed over? Yeah, it could happen. I'd probably punch my TV if it did. But yeah.
And to annoy your Bad Dance co-host, Mr. Paul Tolley, the fact that Charlotte Flair went in the draft as well and Becky Lynch didn't, it's an absolute disgrace.
Yeah, Becky Lynch is out due to,
so Charlotte Flair.
Charlotte Flair's not pregnant.
She's out injured until next year still.
Well, she could be coming back soon. Like, I think with Becky we kind of know that she's going to be away for a while, so it'd kind of be like,
yeah.
With Charlotte it's just a matter of when. With Becky it's just like, oh, we know she's going to be out for a while, so there's no point in picking her.
I just think that's a little bit harsh. I mean, the fact that they've split the Iconics further by putting one on one or one on another, even though they can't team together anymore, I was hoping to see Billy Kay being like Peyton or his manager for a bit, sort of thing. I don't get a lot of the draft. I mean, as Jess said, this draft has been peculiar. Some good stuff, but mostly it's more a case of, well, look at the Friday Night Messiah. Do you call him now?
He's gonna have to get new gear.
The SmackDown Savior?
Well, I'm pretty sure it's CM Punk's line back in the day, but the fact that he's gone to SmackDown, the Mysterio's gone to SmackDown, Buddy Murphy's gone to SmackDown. All of that is just the same storyline, but on a different show.
Yep.
What's the point? You're
talking as if you expected anything different from WWE. This is a company that books on the fly every single show. Of course they were going to book the draft on the fly.
Yeah, but that was just terrible, even by their standards. I mean, I was half expecting them to put Dabo Kato on Raw. Oh, wait, they did that, didn't they?
Yes, they did. They did do that. They drafted him from Raw Underground.
They drafted him free agent to Raw. But I will say, they did save Mercedes Martinez a little bit because she's gone back to NXT.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love her.
Yeah.
She's phenomenal. She's phenomenal.
Big fan.
And if she can save it from a hot mess, which is Retribution, I say that as someone who wants that to do so well, but I'm sorry. As we discussed before, on Good Cop, Bad Cop, Meg, when you guessed it, the names they chose were terrible.
Yeah, they were very awful.
I believe they've renamed Mia Yim Retaliation.
Yeah, I think she's called Retaliation.
Oh, no, she's Reckoning, I think.
Oh, Reckoning, that's it.
That's the problem. I mean, their names actually were sort of half decent. T-Bar, Slapjack, and
Slapjack. That is typical Vince not having a clue what a word actually means.
Yeah. I reckon he just picked a few words out of the hat and that was it.
Well, me and Mags discussed
Someone has definitely said to him, what would be a good name? Would be a call him Slapjack, knowing that it what it actually means. And he's gone, I love it.
Let's see, now, comrade, as Melissa said, you are technically a child. Do you know what Slapjack means?
I think we've all seen the Urban Dictionary screenshot of what means.
I won't re-describe it because I guarantee you, Vince McMahon has not been fucking shown that. Because if that was the case, he would have changed the name of it, I'm pretty sure. How can he still be called that? We're like a month on from that and it's still the same name. It's ridiculous.
Right, I reckon he probably went to Vince and he was like, right, I'm going to make this work now. I'm going to troll everybody on Twitter. I'm trying to pick on everybody and like call people boomers, and it's just going to be like Mad Kurt levels of internet comedy, and we're going to get over.
To their credit,
he's got to come out at least one time with a little bit of hair gel dripping off the side of his mask. Surely to God, just for like the a nod to those in the know. You know, like, there's something about Mary, or just some hair stuck up.
Oh, God, Max.
It's going to happen now because you said that, Max.
I hope so. Please, Vince, please make that happen. That would be absolutely amazing.
It would be interesting, that is for sure. Right, did anyone else have anything to say about the draft in general?
No, I think we've kicked the arse out of that draft.
Excellent. Comrade?
No, I think we've covered everything.
Miss Jess?
Just a bit of a terrible, terrible time, I feel. I don't know anymore.
Well, the good news is Rumble's only 2 months away.
Woo!
Oh, I love the Rumble. It's the best event of the year.
Rumble season is soon to be upon us, and then Max can start bitching and screaming when John Cena wins it. So it's all good.
I'll be crying.
I would love a Brock Lesnar win.
I wouldn't be surprised if Rock won it, but never mind. I am the table! Conrad, talk at table.
Oh, where do I start? There is no... I think we've kind of covered the slightly good. Right, I'm going to hold off on, like, the most recent stuff, because I will just go on half an hour because it's fresh in my mind. I think I'm going to bring the topic over to the Jolly United Kingdom, if you can call it that anymore. It's not, but NXT UK, let's talk about that, shall we?
I saw that this morning and I had a feeling you were going to go for this one. Load both barrels, Mr. Newton.
Okay, so I started watching it like with my dad. And that's like our little thing on a Wednesday when I stop over at his. It's quite cool. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It was a good product since they come back. And they somehow ruined it. And it was like, they had everybody there that they needed to. And then I could kind of, not forgive, but I can kind of let it go that Scarlett's not going to go anywhere, which was really difficult to come to terms to, I guess. But then they bring back bloody Jordan Devlin on NXT UK. And it was just, how can you be like so tone deaf? It is, we're literally like, what, 4 months on from speaking out? I think it's 4 months to the day that it all started on Sunday. And it's just, how can you bring him back and have him like really put over? And like, you know that he's going to be pushed. And it's kind of like yet another kind of middle finger to from WWE to like everybody. And it's like, basically, we don't care about any of these allegations. And it's, I think it's kind of a standard with, well, not a standard, but like it's a trend that's been seen across like all the big companies. Like obviously New Japan with Ospreay, and today G1 they brought in Bea Priestley, and even AEW and Darby Allin and Justin Roberts have both been accused, and to my knowledge nothing's been done about them. And then
Conrad, I'm sorry, I need to interrupt you. It's time for our weekly moment. Fuck you, Ospreay. Carry on.
Okay. That's much needed, actually.
I didn't even realise that was a weekly moment, but I'm totally behind it.
Yeah, let's make it a feature.
Absolutely, carry on.
But yeah, it's kind of just like a whole kind of thing, and I wanted to get like your guys' thoughts on it. Like, is it kind of, is the outrage like should we keep piling on? Well, like, obviously we should, but I just want to kind of like get your guys' like general kind of feelings about like obviously Devlin being brought back and all these like allegations in like the bigger companies being left unaddressed for the most part.
I'll throw it to Jess first.
They just are, the companies just don't care. They just don't give a shit, quite frankly, as much as everybody's, they can see it on Twitter, they can see all social media kicking off, and they're just still letting it happen. And I just think, are you blind? Like, are you just not looking at stuff? Are you not taking, they're not taking things seriously. They just don't. And you just think there's constantly people kicking off about it. And you just like, oh, don't worry. Yeah, you continue doing your job. Get new people. There are hundreds of incredible like talent out there that aren't doing that kind of stuff that these idiots have done. Bring them in. Give them an opportunity instead of these absolute cretins.
Yep.
Cretins is a great word.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with Jess. I have not watched any of the kind of reboot of NXT UK because they still are going to push Jordan Devlin. They still have Sid Scala in a prominent role. There's no word on what the punishment is for the Gallus guy. Wolfgang is still a part of the show, and his is potentially one of the most disturbing kind of accusations with him taking photos outside schools and stuff like that. It's so creepy, and for me, it's more worrying about the double standards of WWE. You had guys like Liguero and Travis Banks who were cut straight away, but yet the more marketable wrestlers like Jordan Devlin, like Gallus, like Matt Riddle, they're all, because they've got this like machine behind them in terms of marketing, everything about them is kind of brushed under the carpet, which I just don't like. If you've been accused of doing anything untoward like this, you should be instantly suspended. I mean, look at what they're doing on NXT. They're still bringing back Velveteen Dream after his solicitor said we used a loophole in the law in Florida to be able to get away with what he got away with. Yeah, it just leaves a horrible taste in your mouth, and I can't enjoy the product knowing that people behind the scenes have got away with some gruesome things.
It's just beyond a joke. As someone who has, you know, as we all do on this show, we all champion the speaking out movement and the Me Too movement. We want all of this stuff to obviously come out in the wash. I mean, Velveteen Dream comes to mind straight away. I mean, I recently got back into playing 2K20 because I wanted to finish the season mode on it. If the game's still buggy as hell, but I wanted to finish the season mode. The fact that at one point you have to team with Velveteen Dream. That's not aged well. It's not been a year yet. It's awkward. And that's the thing, you see, we know how talented they are in the ring, but it's just so inappropriate to have them on the big marquee matches. Now, if they'd been to court and they'd been proven guilty by a jury of their peers, or they'd been acquitted for one reason or another, then that would be different. But using loopholes to get around things is just scummy.
Yep, agreed.
Scummy is the word I would use. Jordan Devlin, I don't think that's even harsh enough, Jess.
Very nice.
I appreciate that. I'd like to use the harsher word, but I can't use that word even on this show.
Is that the word you're looking for?
There it is.
And there's the ring bell. Thank you, Max. Right. The only word we can't say on this show. Right, so he is. And I don't even know how he's still on TV, given the UK laws.
Mm-hmm.
And given how...
How is Wolfgang not in jail? How?
Exactly.
I can't answer these questions, unfortunately. As a survivor of those sorts of things, let me tell you, I'm not happy seeing that happen. And I will fly that flag, and I will say, for heaven's sake, You know, I don't know what a Jordan Devlin got on Triple H.
It's because they put a promotion behind him. So WWE know that there's money to be made behind Jordan Devlin. So they'll kind of forgive his transgressions almost.
Well, forgive me for asking this question. And I probably don't offend anybody. Does anyone here actually think Jordan Devlin is actually that attractive?
No.
What, looking?
Hmm.
No.
There's only really probably you and Jess who could speak on that, to be fair.
You can still appreciate a good physique, Max.
He's a shit Finn Balor, I'd call him.
I will take that, as I love Apple, of course.
Yeah, he's like a pound shop Finn Balor.
Like when you can't afford like the Tesco finest, so you go for the Tesco value.
Ooh, oh, yeah.
Oof, done that a few times in my time. In Tesco, but not in terms of suit. It's not in terms of. I'm digging a hole here, aren't I? Right, okay. The reason I ask is because why would you market that then? You've already got Finn Balor. You don't need a second one.
Well, because he's Finn's student.
Because, yeah, he's Finn Balor Jr. No, that's his selling point. He's in the ring, he's arguably one of the best wrestlers that NXT has got. He's just outside the ring. He's a scumbag of a person, and he's got an instantly sellable story. The fact that he trained under Finn Balor.
So Becky Lynch.
Yeah, but she don't go around like molesting people.
No.
Well, like beating partners or anything.
Yeah, like... exactly. Well, no. I don't know. Seth Rollins has had a few mysterious bruises.
True, but in fairness, what they do in a sexual nature behind closed doors.
Oh, Matt. See, there, another ring bell. Rude.
That is fine because I didn't say anything in particular, but, you know, whatever, if they do something in a... If they're consenting adults, what they do is their business, obviously. But at the same time, anything, if it's consensual...
Are you kink-shaming Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch? Has this conversation gone from speaking out to kink shaming, Matthew?
Absolutely not. If I may complete my circle, okay. If you are into that sort of stuff, then that's obviously fine because you're consenting to do it with someone that you trust and you're clearly in a relationship with. What Jordan Devlin did was not.
No, that is very true.
Okay, so if you're into that, if you are consensual, then that's fine, obviously. But clearly, there wasn't any consensus here, because if there was, there would have been a speaking out movement.
So I think
Almost absolutely right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think the issue, like with like a lot of these kind of individuals, is the fact that it kind of we've seen it with Will Ospreay, especially Will Ospreay, in like these last few months. And there has been obviously IWL yesterday, kind of. Gave a bit of a clarification, and a lot of people were kind of like, well, maybe we were a bit kind of jumped the gun a bit, but still, like, the guy is still kind of played a part, and he said himself that he didn't like Pollyanna, and he was friends with Scotty Wainwright. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, there are so many people on Twitter, and you still see him now, like Facebook and like all social medias and stuff, and they'll be like, well, it doesn't matter what he does outside the ring because flips, and he's a good wrestler. And he can do this, and this, and it's like, oh, there's nobody like him. It's like, well, that kind of is, and they built a whole bloody story around it 4 years ago, and he's bloody Ricochet, and it's
he's on Monday Night Raw, he's named Ricochet.
Exactly, and it's like, to be honest, I do kind of feel bad for the guy because he has been like, he's lost two of his friends this year, and like, obviously, that can't be easy. Like, and then you've got loads of people kind of dogpiling them, because I think a lot of us are kind of lost. Well, like, some of us are kind of lost, kind of holding someone accountable and then just like throwing abuse at them, like for being bad people. It's like we kind of have to find a balance, and some people are like kind of stepping over that. But yeah, like in terms of his actions, it's abhorrent and it's ridiculous that people are trying to like kind of make excuses by saying, oh, but he's a good wrestler, or he's a good character, or he's got the backing of the company, so it doesn't matter. And like, kind of like, oh, we have to accept this, but we don't. Like, I think we as fans have that kind of option to kind of say, well, we're not going to stand for this. And yeah, that's why I cancelled like my Stardom World and stuff. I didn't want Bea Priestley. I didn't want to be paying Bea Priestley's wages because she's a bully. And I don't know what I'm going to do about New Japan, but it's, I don't know, it's a weird one. I think a lot of us would kind of we're like, more of us should start speaking up and kind of saying, well, this isn't okay, because it's not.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think there's a massive section of the fan base that does take kind of criticizing a wrestler for their actions overboard, and they start getting death threats, and the whole kind of like cancel culture I don't really agree with. But saying that, I do think that if you have done something wrong, you shouldn't be above being criticized. And I think Will Ospreay is kind of the marquee figure where he doesn't believe he should be able to be criticised, and he's forever putting out these kind of like victim shaming posts, or he's like, for instance, with the suicide of Ryan Smile, he's made that about himself again. He put out a post, I think it was early this morning, saying that this shows that you shouldn't be able to cyberbully, but a lot of the stuff aimed at Will is not about Samuel, and it's about him being accountable for some of the horrific stuff that he's played a part in, whether it's been directly or indirectly. The fact is that if he wants to talk about bullying, he bullied Pollyanna out of the business. He allowed Pollyanna to be victim shamed and to be blackballed by wrestling companies. So he is kind of hypocritical when he's then crying about being bullied himself. I don't wish him death. I don't wish any harm to him in terms of people going and beating him up or anything like that. But you've got to be accountable for the stuff that you do and say. And he caused a lot of hardship to Pollyanna.
It, like, he could have just kind of sorted that, would kind of like...
Is that a Conrad phrase? You were that angry, you froze.
Like the companies that... No.
I'm leaving that in. I think, like... He got so angry, his internet said, nope.
Yeah. It censored you. Yeah. It knew that you were going to go on a mad rant and thought, I'll censor him. Save Matt the editing.
I'll call TalkTalk. I'm getting that sorted. That's just, it's not going to stand. but yeah, like, Ospreay could have, like, he could have stopped some of the backlash by simply saying, right, sorry, I am an idiot, and it was misplaced loyalty to Scotty Wainwright, but I'm not just going to rely on that. I'm going to work with the companies that that I did get a blackball from, or any role that I did play. I'm going to kind of rectify that and get her kind of those bookings back, and like, I'm not going to be a massive arsehole anymore. And no, he hasn't.
Especially knowing the kind of status he's got and the position he's got, he could easily become like a figure for mm-hmm. being a positive change role model. But yeah, he still chooses to be a bit of a douchebag.
I just think he makes every single thing about himself. Doesn't matter what.
That's the issue.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter what's going on. Like, you know, in a couple of months ago, and if it happened, he made everything about him, and I thought, you slimy little shitbag. But he does have, like, oh no, it's not right to bully. It's horrible, and you know, it's not nice at all. But don't make it all about you. Like you do, like you said, he has that platform. He could make changes. Like, you know, he could really do something. But no, he doesn't. He makes it all about himself. Oh, come cry to me. Oh, I'm having a bad day. Shut up. Other people are having a bad day. Like, other people are going through some shit, mate.
Yeah, and you just.
Exactly. Do you know what I mean? I just think, oh, honestly, I've lost so much respect for him. Like, it's ridiculous. I used to really, really like him. But since everything that's gone on, and when he did his statement like a couple of months ago, I just thought, you absolute wet wipe. Like, shut up. So, yeah, I'm done with Will. Absolutely done.
Where's the standing ovation button? That was phenomenal. That was phenomenal, Jez. Brilliant.
Right, Max. Wet wipe. Wet wipe, Will.
Exactly.
Wet wipe,
I love
wet wipe, Will. Yes.
Well, that's actually covered one of my topics.
I am the table.
But I'm gonna, you know what I'm gonna do, because we've all had a bitch and a moan so far. I'm gonna be positive. No, yeah. It's not normally like me. So yeah, we've covered the kind of re-emerging of speaking out. Well, I'm gonna do something. I'm gonna talk about something that was very positive for female wrestling. It's The PWR 100 Female Wrestlers was released yesterday, and my God, was it glorious. The way that the PWR have really spread this through wrestling Twitter, it's gone like wildfire. Everyone's absolutely buzzing about it. It's just what a glorious way to kind of promote female wrestling. So we've got number one as Becky Lynch, which is number one is Bayley, which I think is well deserved. I think she's had an absolute stellar year. Becky Lynch was two, which kind of like doesn't make sense if you think of it as like December to December, but these actually go from, I think it's September to September in terms of like how the year is ranked. So obviously Becky had a great year. Asuka at three, phenomenal. So happy for that one. The one that I would straight away shock me was Io Shirai down at number nine. I thought she's had a brilliant year, but yeah, all in all, the list was brilliant. Just cool seeing 100 female wrestlers really get like hyped about the numbers, the way they're so proud of themselves on Twitter. Yeah, it's really, really made me like so happy to see the women get the exposure they absolutely deserve, especially after the year that we've had for wrestling. Yeah, it was brilliant. And my bae, Mia Yim, coming in at number 36. Yep, just brilliant. I love it.
Yeah, shout out to Graham from MGB Wrestling Podcast, who mentioned that he was a bit upset seeing Trisha Dora so far down the list, seeing as how high she was on the BWI. But at the same time, you've got to try and fit everyone in. That's the problem. I think it's just nice to see that a lot of great wrestlers in general got the recognition they deserve. Conrad, what's your thoughts on the PWI 100 for women?
See, I first of all want to apologise because I feel like my tweet yesterday about it was a bit negative. And so...
Is it your chance to rectify yourself then? Apologise at the table?
Yeah, it was just I didn't really.
That should be a section. Conrad apologizes.
apologies at the table.
We're right, honourable gentleman who came on speaking. Thank you.
I got a bit worked up because like I've kind of really got into like Joshi wrestling this year, and it's kind of been like really, really cool for me to kind of see all these like really cool female talents, and like they're actually killing it. But obviously, I kind of understand that like PWI is kind of more of a Western focus, but and there were some stardom names on there. Mayu Iwatani, for example, she's had an absolutely stellar year, and she came in at number 10.
Momo was in there as well, I think.
Yeah. Momo, Utami, there's been a lot, and honestly, it's really cool to see. Obviously, Io Shirai's still kind of, even after she's left, she's still kind of the flag bearer for that company for a lot of people. And yeah, it's really cool to see. It shows that women's wrestling is kind of like, it's kind of growing, and it's really cool to see the fact that they had like the 50 last year, and this year it's 100. And I think it's really cool, like really kind of shining the spotlight on women's wrestling, kind of shutting up a lot of the critics that still kind of don't believe in women's wrestling. I saw some complaints about it. I saw people saying I saw one person say, any list that has Liv Morgan on it shows that you don't watch good wrestling. And it's just like, it's how can you, I just don't understand some people's opinions, but yeah, it's really cool to see like women's wrestling as a whole being celebrated. And I'm really, really glad to see some, like Millie McKenzie. I think she was 55. She came in at number 55.
Smashed that.
Oh, she's absolutely brilliant. I first saw her in like Defiant Wrestling, WCPW a few years ago, and she, absolutely outstanding talent. Sasha Moff Martina at 82.
She's amazing.
She is one of my favourite accounts to follow on Twitter.
Yes.
And then you've got like all the Impact. Impact's women's division is absolutely incredible right now. And it's, I feel they're kind of leading, kind of carrying on the work that NXT did like with the horsewomen and kind of keeping women's wrestling kind of really alive in the West. And it's really, really cool. Yeah, it's just been really nice to see, and so many people were happy at like where they ranked. Just a good bit of like happiness on the timeline, isn't it? So
absolutely. Jeff, your thoughts on it?
Do you know what? I was quite happy with it. I think Bayley being number one is actually really good. I was saying this the other day. I feel like this year, really, she has carried that women's division. She has killed it. So I am so happy she's number one. I'm usually not the biggest fan of her, but literally the last few months, she's killing it. And overall, I think the list is actually really good. Like, there's some, you know, there's like Millie McKenzie, like, being where she is. That's freaking brilliant. Do you know what I mean? That's so, so good. Like, she, you know, she come in better than quite a lot of people on there, you know, even like the WWE lot. I think she's actually, yeah, you know what? Overall, it's a really good list, I think. Really, really good.
Yeah. I think the thing that stands out to me about it is it gives you a chance then to look up people and go, oh, I don't really know that person. Mm-hmm. And you can go and check out some of the rest. I mean, for instance, I've never seen any Lady Sharni matches or any Danny Luna matches or any matches with Willow Nightingale. But now I'll go out and I'll search these wrestlers, because they're in the top 100 best female wrestlers in the world. So, yeah, it's I can't find any. I mean, you can argue about places and who should have been higher than who, and I get that. It's all subjective, but the fact that these women are being put on such a high platform is there's no bad side to it for me.
Absolutely, I fully agree with all of that. Bayley, especially ever since she decided to adopt the Mouth Your Manager haircut, especially that one.
I fucking hate that haircut.
But you can't argue. She's made it work.
She has.
She had absolutely. If she'd have been coming out still for Bayley Buddies, the same happy-go-lucky music and the same hair, would you have bought her as a serious heel?
No. I was not ready at all to accept her as a heel. It took a long time for me to accept it. But now I couldn't imagine her going back to being a hugger.
Is she the best female heel in the business right now?
Oh.
She's in the conversation.
Character-wise, probably. In reality, it's probably Evil Ease.
Because
she is a bit of a bitch.
Right. Now, you guys will know better than me, because you guys have had a chance to look at the list more than I have. And I'm not trying to hate when I say this. I'm saying that as a preface. How many AEW women are on the list?
Okay. Let me quickly go through. So, you've got Sheeta at 6, Rio at 8, Nyla Rose at 16...
it's a fair amount.
Evil Ease at 31, Chris Statlander at 32. Then you're looking at Penelope Ford is at number 48, Jamie Hayter is at 47.
Big Swole at 39.
Who's at 39? Big Swole, yeah. That's a
good one.
Yeah, so they've got quite a few in there.
At risk of getting a snap, is Vicky Guerrero on that list?
No, she's not really a wrestler.
I just thought I'd check. Because, to be fair, she's an influential woman in wrestling, to be fair. Although Stephanie McMahon would be.
Nia Jax has got an ironic number.
What number is she?
69.
Is that how many injuries she's caused this week?
Oh. Sorry.
To be fair, that's how many times she put Lana through a table. Okay. Right, I only ask because a point I've seen is AEW has got such an amazing, talented pool of women, and they really didn't get a chance to show what they can do, because if they do put them in a meaningless tag match sometimes, or they will, rather than have one of Chris Statlander or Eva Lise challenge for the women's championship, they bring in another company's women's champion to challenge. Nothing against the NWA women's champion, she's phenomenal, but if you've got that talent pool which you've just discussed, why are they bringing her in?
I don't think they've had access to them because of COVID. A lot of them live abroad, so yeah, they've not been able to travel in, but I do agree with your sentiments. Britt Baker came out this week and said basically the same as you, how talented the roster is and how they're really looking to push the women, but ultimately Tony Khan is a businessman, and they're looking for ratings, and the women are consistently scoring the lowest quarterly ratings. So people have to watch the show and watch the women's wrestlers to make sure that they're on, they get enough time on the show, because when a million people are watching Orange Cassidy against Chris Jericho, and then 400,000 are disappearing for Hikaru Shida versus Big Swole, you can understand why women don't get a prominent role on the show. So we as fans can't complain about it if we're not going to watch it.
Well, I can slightly agree. I mean, when I was at WrestleMania 35, main event obviously was Ronda, Charlotte and Becky. Those three, as soon as they announced, literally the announcer said, "The following contest is the winner-take-all triple," and he didn't say it was a triple threat match, before the two rows in front got up and left. Before the main event!
Madness.
I mean, yes, it was a botched finish, but, you know...
It shows the hypocrisy of sometimes of the wrestling community, that we'll jump on the bandwagon of screaming out, "Oh, yeah, this is not fair, women deserve a push," and they absolutely do. But if a company gives the women the push, support that company. Watch them women wrestlers, because if you don't, that push is going to end very, very quickly.
Yeah, because don't you know, I love watching Orange Cassidy and Chris Jericho. I like seeing Cody Rhodes get thrown around like a rag doll. I like seeing on WWE. I like seeing, you know, the Hurt Business and Retribution thing going on. I like seeing all of that sort of stuff. But I like watching people like Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. That was a great match this year to watch. I like seeing, you know, Shayna Baszler, Becky Lynch. I wanted to see that match. I was desperate to see that match. I'm desperate to see Becky Lynch come back and hook it up with some of the new talent that's coming through. That will be when she comes back from maternity. We all want to see these things. But if fans are I guarantee you, no one in the Thunderdome's turning their feed off when the women come on, are they?
Exactly.
And that's free to apply for, I believe. That's free to get on the Thunderdome. I don't know, I can tell you how much those tickets were for WrestleMania last year, but they were not cheap. And they still got up before the main event to leave. Now, yeah, they've been sitting there for 7 hours at that point, but you know.
You'd stay, come on. Like, you just stay.
Graham got up.
Even have a kip. You know what I mean?
Graham got up and left for the Miz Shane O'Mac match, because he hates Shane McMahon. But he, but the actual women's match.
Vince McMahon hates Shane McMahon.
Max, did you see my video?
I did.
Did you see what I said about you in it?
Oh, the amount of times we've absolutely rinsed Shane McMahon because he doesn't get a thank you, a happy birthday tweet off his dad.
Every time.
The way he does it for like trips and for John Cena, though, he proper puts effort and like love into his tweets. And then for Shane, it's happy birthday at Shane McMahon. It's brilliant. It's the best thing about Shane McMahon's birthday for me.
Absolutely brilliant.
I am the table!
Right, I'm going to switch gears a little bit, because I want to ask a very important question. The important question was, did we all know that we're in the presence of wrestling family royalty right now?
Oh, what, Lord Conrad?
Well, I found out this week that Lord Conrad is not only a lord, but he's a nephew of Sami Zayn, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is a funny, jokey thing. So, Conrad, can you elaborate on this thing? Because I saw this, I wet my... I think I'm the only person on your Facebook feed who knew what you were talking about.
Yeah, so basically, my Uncle Paul looks a fair bit like Sami Zayn, like right, like how Sami Zayn looks right now, my Uncle Paul looks like that, but like not ginger.
What, like homeless?
Well, yeah, but like tidy.
Man, that is bad.
Sami Zayn pulled off the homeless look brilliantly.
Yeah, but my Uncle Paul lives in Spain, so I haven't seen him for a while, but he does look like Sami Zayn, like, a lot.
Oh, God. I saw that, and I was like...
There's the title of the show. Conrad's uncle looks like Sami Zayn.
Conrad's Sami Zayn. If that's the case, I thought it was a funny little thing to bring up and just to break the little flow up.
I am the table!
Yeah, it's kind of good fun. So, Jess, rant time again for you, my dear. Talk at the table. What's it this week?
What else? It's really wound me up as usual.
It doesn't have to wind you up. It can make you happy. You don't have really to end on a bad note.
I love her rant, so we will have it every week, mate.
A Jess rant is the best rant ever.
I go on so much. Do you know what? I don't think I've ranted enough how bad the AEW women's division's been treated.
Floor is yours.
Honestly, I'm gonna. There's gonna be a day when I'm gonna do a whole video about it because it winds me up so much. Like, there is so much potential. There is so many really, really good people on there. They're not given the chance. Each week, it's just like they throw people in there, and they had such a big opportunity. And I really thought, like, when obviously the Britt Baker stuff was happening a couple of months ago, I really thought it was gonna kind of build up. There's gonna have some good storylines. We were gonna get, you know, treated and really, really sport with some really good feuds, and it's just like it's nothing. It's absolutely shocking. And I also thought, like, Vicky Guerrero being involved as well, I kind of thought, oh, do you know what, like, we could get something with her experience. She could lead quite a lot of it. She could really, like, help out. Nope, same stuff every single week. What amazed me
talking about Vicky Guerrero, I've never seen someone generate heat without her actually being there. I was at a Raw show in 2009. Vicky wasn't there. Chavo came out and said, "My auntie Vicky isn't here tonight. I've never heard the O2 pop for something so loudly in my life."
Well, that's the sound of a good worker. I mean, she may not be the best in the ring, but she drew a reaction.
Absolutely. But what amazed me is when she went to AEW, credit AEW for signing her and credit her for her career. But it came out and it said 15 years experience in the business. I mean, like, she's had four matches. She's had four. I think she won two of them. I think
she's got a win at WrestleMania.
One of them was against Trish Stratus.
Yeah, but that, if you are good at something, don't give it away for free. I think she deserves it.
No, absolutely. But to say 15 years experience in the business,
she didn't say wrestling in the business.
Is that? I'm sorry. That implies that you have experience between the ropes for 15 years.
Yep. But the wrestling business is not all about what happens in the ring. There's a lot of logistics that go into behind the show.
I'm aware of that. But if I were to say that about Charlotte Flair, you would say, okay, she's been in the ring for that amount of time, blah, 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 blah. If I said Linda McMahon has 40 years experience in the business, she does, let's face it, would you expect her to be in the ring? I would expect her to be in the ring.
That's you kind of like putting your expectations on everyone else.
That's
bullying, Matt. Don't sound bully.
It's not bullying, Maggle. What it is if people explain it in one way, then it should be explained the same way for everybody. If she has had 15 years experience as a manager, I would accept that, but saying the business is more vague than Burnley's defence.
Wow. That's harsh.
Well, just say Man United's defence against Tottenham at home. And that's from a Man United fan.
I'll just say, at least Burnley haven't been taken behind the woodshed by Jack Grealish.
Ooh.
I can't finish my sentence for legal reasons. Right. Okay. The women's division needs, as Jess was saying, the women's division definitely needs something more. I think, as you also said though, Mags, I think COVID hasn't helped there. But there's enough talent there to give them some time. I mean, give them a bit more actual screen time in general. Don't have them just hanging off the arm of wrestlers anymore, because, you know,
then fans need to watch it.
WCW did that with I mean, when they were needed ratings, they brought in Stacy Keibler. Now, don't get me wrong, beautiful woman. Beautiful woman's legs from the ground to the sky. Could she wrestle? Could she hell? Tori Wilson, how is she in the Hall of Fame ahead of people like Molly Holly? I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's scandalous.
Now, don't get me wrong, Tori Wilson had an impact, I think. But certainly not the impact that certain other people had. I mean, there's several people who are in the women's division in AEW who will be guaranteed Hall of Famers one day because of how amazing they are. I mean, Vicky Guerrero, I dare say, will be because of a contribution to the business. Nyla Rose certainly will be, I think, because of the impact she's made from the LGBT angle, of course. And Chris Statlander has one of the best gimmicks out there in general. I love Chris Statlander. She's amazing. I don't know. Is it, Jess, what do you think they need more than anything else then?
Do you know what? I don't know, but they need something or someone.
Do they need more talent or do they just need more time on screen?
More time on screen, more time to develop who they've got. It's like they've got the talent. It's, you know, even if they had a good manager or just the storylines, like just change some stuff. Like they, it does, unfortunately, it does focus so much on the men, like so much. And you know, it's a shame really, because I did think when kind of AEW first started, they were really going to push the women, because that is, you know, a lot of them stood for that kind of thing. And I really did think they were going to push it all, and it's just kind of like, it is, I do really struggle to watch AEW, I'm not going to lie. Not just because of that, I just really do find it hard, because I just feel like it is the same thing week in, week out. I know it's obviously a pandemic, but WWE, they've, as much as they are annoying, and, you know, the whole situation is a pain in the butt, they have managed this year to pull some banging storylines out, really, like the whole Bayley situation, like we were saying, and now with the Roman and Paul Heyman, that kind of thing. You do think like AEW, like, step it up with them women, because you're going to fall behind.
And if an example of how a woman can take an angle, run with it, and be amazing, I point quite simply to one Alexa Bliss.
And she's killing it. Do you know what I mean? She is, oh, she's killing it. And the thing that, you know, AEW could do that. Like, there's so much light on the women at the minute. There's so much, like, Impact Division, Women's Division. That is, oh,
phenomenal.
God. Beautiful.
Phenomenal.
Spectacular. Honestly, absolutely beautiful division they've got. Same with WWE and NXT. And I just think, do you know what? Like, you're missing, and you could really shine that bloody division and just explode. Like, the world is, like, the wrestling community is looking a lot of the minute at the women, you know, like, same with these lists.
Yeah,
they're looking at the women. Yeah.
The prime example you make there is when we were talking about the draft earlier, we segued and were discussing the women's titles without even discussing the men at the top of the ranking, which means we're more interested in what's happening with women's division right now, which says it all. And that's WWE. I mean, do we think that Asuka vs. Lana is going to be a match of the year candidate? I seriously doubt it. But I dare say Asuka will get a good match out of Lana. But it may take a lot of time and maybe some pre-recording stuff. But we're talking about it. So we want to see it. AEW right now, I mean, they've got Dynamite and they've got Dark, haven't they? Now, Dark, unless I'm very much mistaken, had the better matches.
Yes.
Probably. But they always put the lesser known wrestlers or the women on there, which is so annoying.
And that's arguably my point. Therefore, their B show, as it were, which is only on YouTube, I believe, as well. Is actually better than the main show, which they're getting paid money by TNT for.
It's likely that Dark will transition over to TNT in the near future. I know there's plans for a second AEW show on TNT.
Well, I think that to add further to Jesse's discussion, AEW's women need that showcasing, because soon they'll get left behind. Mm-hmm. Because people will, well, they'll start saying, well, we want to be showcased, we want, and they'll leave.
Yeah.
And they'll leave. And they'll end up.
They deserve better. Simple as
and
that.
And they'll end up in WWE, probably, or NXT, or Impact, as is the new fashionable place to go, because there, they're not competing with WWE, they'll have to just be their characters. And they do a bloody good job. Bloody good job. Can't wait to see what comes next from them.
I am the table!
Conrad, talk on table.
Oh, do I go to the negative stuff now? Oh no, I'm not going to be like too negative.
Well, tell you what, if you want to do negative stuff, Mags, be positive. Talk at the table.
Oh, I haven't got any positive ones left.
That's never a good omen. Okay, right. Okay, Conrad, load one barrel.
Well, it's not negative as such. It's just the fact that I don't like it, and therefore it's bad. We had the G1 literally finished about 5 minutes before we started recording this.
We did.
And there is something in the drugs that Gedo is smoking. What is, like, okay, so Jay White came back, like, for those who like don't watch New Japan, Jay White came back after kind of being trapped in America. I think it was America. But yeah, he came back and everybody was like, okay, he's going to win the G1 this year because last year he was in the finals. Mm-hmm. Hot Run lost only to Will Ospreay and Jeff Cobb, and beat Okada and Ibushi and Shingo. And okay, he lost to Tomohiro Ishii on the last night. And that is, I'm fine with that because Ishii's really good. Well, Ishii's great. But then my issue is Kota Ibushi for the third year in a row making the finals. It makes like absolutely no sense whatsoever, because his whole thing this year is he lost twice at the Dome, and the whole thing with Tanahashi is the fact that Tanahashi's fallen a bit behind, and I don't get how that's kind of building him up as kind of the Wrestle Kingdom main eventer. But I think the only way that they're going to go with this, and I'm hoping I'm right, I suppose, is if they have Naito win B block tomorrow by beating Kenta, and then Sanada beats Evil, and then Naito wins the G1 and picks, like, I don't know, Hiromu or something. And it's just a really confusing thing. I think it kind of speaks, like, don't try and predict Gedo's booking, because we were all expecting Jay versus Sanada or Jay versus Evil, and that's not what we got, so we're all angry. But yeah, Mags, have you watched the show
we're
yet?
Not,
or?
We're not all angry.
We're not all angry. I'm angry.
You are very angry. I think it's really good booking, because I don't know if you watched the kind of the after-match promos on New Japan World's YouTube channel, but there's been a lot of storyline that I kind of predicted. If you remember going back to when Naito won the titles back from Evil, I predicted that there'd be kind of like a power struggle for Bullet Club. And I said that Kenta would be involved. I now retract that one a little bit. But yeah, the backstage promos between Evil and Jay White really kind of pushing this power struggle in Bullet Club. That, for me, is a brilliant storyline for Jay White to go into. We obviously, going into this final day of A Block, we had Ospreay with a possible chance of winning. He's got a storyline coming out of it with the attack on Okada, basically telling Okada that he held him down. We've got Jay White with a storyline going against Evil, the only one who was going into this final day with a chance of winning, and no real kind of storyline with any kind of depth to it was Ibushi. So I think it makes sense to have him in the final. I don't think he's going to win 2 years in a row. I think we're going to probably see either Naito win. And I want Naito to challenge Sanada at Wrestle Kingdom. And I want this to be the time that Sanada takes that title. But yeah, I think it was really interesting and booking that made sense to me anyway.
I think it, like, kind of works, but I'm just thinking, like, in terms of maybe, like, just because I was kind of expecting Ibushi and Tanahashi to kind of wrestle at the Dome. So unless Jay challenges, if Ibushi does win, which I don't think he will, but Ibushi does win, then I guess you could have Jay challenge and win the briefcase or something. But I don't know, it just wasn't what I was expecting. I think the Ospreay thing is, they've kind of lent into the fact that everybody thinks he's a massive arsehole, so that they've made him a massive arsehole. So I think it's definitely going to be interesting tomorrow, and obviously the finals on Sunday. But and you got Naito with you've got a few title challenges as well, because if he challenges Sonata, he's got a match with Sonata anyway, because Sonata beat him and Evil. Oh,
yeah.
But
yeah, there is that.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
Are you a New Japan fan then, Jess?
I don't get time to watch it, if I'm completely honest with you. I barely get time to eat some days. In all honesty.
I do know that feeling. I do know that feeling.
The laugh of a baller. When you're a baller like Jess.
Can you show me where that is? Because that ain't happening in my life, if I'm all honest.
Right. I need to ask if you guys a few things about New Japan real quickly.
Okay, go.
Okay, first
one
of all...
One question, go.
Okay, question is... when Goto beat Yano last week...
Yes.
On night 5?
Yep.
Of B-Block? That was the shortest match in history, apparently.
Yeah, okay.
Do you remember what it beat? Be the shortest.
It's got to be another Yano match, surely.
I think it was Goto and Yano from like a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Yano is the king of getting very quick surprise victories.
The shortest match in G1 Climax history was previously held by Ken Suzuki and Yasuda in 2002, which was 37 seconds long.
Wow. The more you know.
I didn't even know that Ken Suzuki had been in New Japan. I thought he was a big Japan guy. Now, obviously, on day of recording, tomorrow is going to be the New Japan B-Block final.
Yep.
Obviously, who have you got winning it? You got Sonata, Naito, or Evil?
I would give my RT for Sonata to win it. I love Sonata. I think it's Naito, though. Naito's the one that makes sense.
Conrad?
Yeah, I'm thinking Naito. I think Jay could, now that he's kind of not in the finals, I think he could, like, screw Evil over and say, like, well, you're clearly not good because you didn't make the finals either. I think Sonata... I think if, as you said, Mags, if Naito wins, I reckon he will challenge. It'll either be Sonata or Hiromu. Hopefully Sonata, because Hiromu's winning Super Juniors, I think. Mm-hmm. I think Naito makes the most sense. I did the feud along up for a while last year, and Naito would, I think he'd be the third person in history to win the G1 World Champion. So it just kind of makes up for all the years where all the Naito fans like myself complained about his booking.
Because, of course, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Naito's facing Kenta.
Yes.
So you have Naito to beat Kenta. So, and then, of course, you have Evil facing Sonata.
Mm-hmm.
So, literally a case of, whichever one of those two wins it.
You would expect that match to be... The core main event and the Naito one, because Naito, I think, is still 2 points ahead. You'd expect him to go on last, just to see, kind of... You don't want to telegraph the final with a Naito win, and then it means that Sonata and Evil match means absolutely nothing. So,
well, yeah. Having done my research for a change...
Oh, wait, no, I think it's... Oh, God, sorry, Matt.
I think, for once, I've done my research... Card subject to change, of course. Sonata vs. Evil is scheduled to be main event.
Oh, interesting.
Naito in Kendo is sub main event. There's some interesting things for you as well. I mean, you've got Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Zack Sabre Jr. That's a match I'd like to see for big belt, to be brutally honest. Because I think, and Conrad giving me the nod of approval with that comment, I'll take that. I mean, granted, Zack Sabre Jr. is going to finish at best fourth overall. And, you know, I do think I had a bad shout in my pick, even though he ain't going to win it now. My first go at picking a G1, though, not bad.
Do you know, nobody could really kind of say with any certainty who's going to win a G1, because Gedo is the craziest booker in the history of wrestling. Gedo can book... Yeah, he's quite bad as well. But no, in terms of storylines, long-term storylines, Gedo is the absolute master.
I remind you, and this is probably going to give Conrad the ultimate double kick in the nuts. I do remind you, I did jokingly say that Evil will win the G1 just to piss Conrad off, but he actually could win the G1.
Best not win the G1.
He's already broken his fanboy heart this year once, and he could end up going to Wrestle Kingdom again now for the championship. He can.
See, it's a very weird one, because Evil's situation tomorrow is like Jay White's. Chris Charlton on Twitter said, Evil controls his destiny. If he beats Sanada, then he's through. Sanada needs a win and for Naito to lose to Kenta. And Naito needs to win for a Sanada win or a draw. So, pretty much Evil and Jay are the same. And obviously, Okada and Ibushi are the Sanada and Evil roles, I guess.
Well, turn back in about 2 weeks' time, guys, to hear what actually went down. And I'm pretty sure that Mags and Conrad will lecture me again exactly on why I'm wrong to a pick certain people. I am the table! So, Mags, you got some doom and gloom? Talk at the table, buddy.
Yeah, I've got two what kind of roll into one.
Okay, Jess, get ready to the rant, girl.
Now, he's been mentioned already on this episode, but let's talk a little bit of Matt Riddle. Now, two major stories have come out this weekend about Sir Matt. First one is he moved to Raw, obviously. Yeah. That's, and Seth Rollins moved to SmackDown, and a lot of talk has come out about Matt Riddle really wanting a match with Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins shooting it down in no uncertain terms. And it's apparently because there's some actual real-life genuine beef between the two guys. Oh, Jess, is that like a... Oh, there's some goss.
Scandalous.
So, basically, Matt Riddle's missus. She did an Instagram post a while ago slating many of the main roster female wrestlers, saying that they basically don't look after themselves, and they want to like have a straight, skinny, jiggly, fat arses. I'm not saying they're not beautiful, but just saying they need to do squats. And she, obviously being an Olympic powerlifter, she's saying that she's a mum of three and she looks a lot better than they look. And she used a video of Becky Lynch to kind of nail her point home. And, yeah, apparently Seth has took umbrage upon that, which is fair play. And then the other one is a little bit more serious, and it's regarding what happened with him at Speaking Out. Now, obviously, he was one of the big names mentioned. He was accused by Candy Cartwright of sexual assault, and he fired back and said that this girl had been stalking him, and his missus kind of stood by him. We all know that WWE also stood by him. But then later into it, he admitted that he had an affair with this woman, and she couldn't let it go. And then he threatened her with a lawsuit.
That'll do it.
Yeah. So it was a kind of an attempt to calming the situation down. He then dropped the lawsuit because he was told in no uncertain terms that he weren't going to win. Now she's come back and she's filed a lawsuit against him, against the WWE, and against Evolve owner Gabe Sapolsky for $7.7 million each, saying that he sexually abused her in a parking lot in front of a bus full of WWE talent, that WWE knew about it and they brushed it under the carpet. And yeah, basically he's been given a bit of his own treatment with firing off this lawsuit. And yes, it's good to see that he may be getting his comeuppance for the way he is allegedly treated Candy Cartwright.
Of course it is alleged, obviously, at the moment, obviously. Yeah. Now, the fact of the matter is that because it's only alleged, it's a case of he said, she said, do we think that this is legit? Is there a ring of truth to it? Does things add up? Is there proof? Is that true? I don't know.
I will always try and believe the victim.
Of course.
Because you don't... She has everything to lose in this situation. If she doesn't prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that this happened, her career in wrestling, her life is over. She's going to be absolutely tarred with this. But for her to have the confidence in her story to be willing to get it all read out in a court of law, absolutely all power to her. If Matt hasn't done it, that's absolutely fair. He will get his day in court to prove that. If he has done it, he faces what he deserves.
Absolutely. I'm pretty sure. I'll let Jess weigh in with her thoughts.
Do you know what? I think I used to love Matt Riddle, and ever since it's come out, I can never look at him the same. I really can't. And I'm just going to talk about his wife for a minute, okay? She looks like his mum. I'm sorry. She looks like his fucking mother. I look at the picture of them two together and it's like a family portrait, like generations. I'm sorry, but that's how it looks. She looks like his mum. That's it. That's what I'm going to say about her, because I think she's just quite revolting. But anyway, Matt Riddle, the whole situation itself, I believe the girl, because do you know what? There's not many people that would go that far to try and prove a point if it was fake. Like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, personally, if that was the case and that happened to me, if that was not real, I wouldn't put myself through that. I wouldn't put myself through that embarrassment if that ended up not being, you know, not actually being real.
Of course.
Like, imagine, like, you know what I mean? So I hope he gets ruined, quite frankly. If this all comes out and it's true and, you know, WWE is sweeping it under the carpet, like, oh yeah, nothing's wrong. And I just think, come on now. Like, I hope he gets what's coming, if I'm honest.
That's absolutely fair. Conrad, I'm guessing you share the same sentiment.
Yeah, I think it kind of fair play, because, like, obviously she's been threatened with a lawsuit and she's still kind of going with it, and she's kind of like, ha, no, I've got a lawsuit myself, so get wrecked. But yeah, I think Riddle, signs point to Riddle being guilty. I think like there was something about him that I didn't like from the start. There's just some, you know, like, same with Ospreay, like, looking back and you kind of thought, oh, I bet this guy's a bit of a dick. And there's just something about Riddle that I didn't like. It was a bit off. But I think when the allegations kind of came out, and the statement from the lawyer was a bit kind of, it was weird. It didn't look professional, and it looked like really kind of not entirely authentic.
Yeah, it looked like he'd brought it on that toilet roll.
And he was following people. I think it was post-it notes. Yeah, loads of people pointed it out.
Yeah,
but then he was giving out, like, he was following, like, random people on Twitter, like, when some people were, like, becoming suspicious, and then, like, straight away, as soon as he followed them, it'd be like, oh, yeah, cheers, like, for the follow and that, and then it'll be forgotten. So I think he's kind of definitely trying to kind of get this away from him, because he knows that it could be really significant. And I do think, as you said, Max, I do believe the victim here. Like, I haven't really been given a reason not to, and I think I really hope that he does get his comeuppance, because clearly there's something that he's hiding if he's taken all these like steps with like fans and stuff on social media to kind of get that attention off him.
Absolutely, 100% agree. As Mags has said before, so I'm going to lean on what you said before, Mags. I hope in a way it's not true, because I don't want him to be a victim.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't look good for Riddle. That's for certain, unfortunately. Hopefully, this can be dealt with appropriately. And as I've said before, hopefully there's a chance to sweep clean. Some companies are doing it, some aren't. Come on, guys, sort yourselves out, because at the end of the day, we want to watch wrestling. We want to rant about wrestling, not what happens behind closed doors. Because one thing I hate doing is talking about this stuff. I don't like talking about it.
It's a good job I didn't bring up my other topic then.
We do have to talk about it, because it's obviously an important thing, but we'd rather be talking about the actual stuff between the ropes and how bad some of the acting is sometimes. Looking at you, Naomi.
I am the table!
I'm going to give you my last topic, which is NXT have announced a pay-per-view, which is not a takeover.
Okay.
This year they've announced Halloween Havoc.
I don't think it's a pay-per-view. I think it's a regular episode of NXT.
It's a pay-per-view, in my opinion. It's a network special, but it's effectively a pay-per-view.
Yeah, kind of like the In Your House one.
Yeah. Halloween Havoc, I am extremely pleased to see come back, because it's a great, great thing from the archive they've got access to, obviously. I'm excited about it, particularly the matches that have been announced for it so far. I want your thoughts, all of you, on other great staples from the past that you'd like to see redirected for NXT in the future. Max?
I want to see the triple cage from War Games 2000.
Oh, God. Oh, God, no. That was terrible, man.
Yeah, it wasn't done well, but I think with WWE booking behind it, I think they could make a cage on top of a cage on top of a cage work better.
Isn't there the Elimination Chamber?
Is there three cages in an Elimination Chamber? No, there is not, Matt. You have to climb to the top of the cage, retrieve the belt, then make your way back down the cage without getting beat up.
There'll be four cages inside the cage, which people are locked inside, technically.
Yeah, it's not the same. You asked for it, and I gave. Don't be pernickety.
Okay. So that's what you got to see. Conrad, is there anything from wrestling's path that WWE has access to you'd like to see redirected?
Not really.
Just wrestling in general.
Yeah. They have access to 2015 levels of talent that made NXT unmissable. Let's go back to that. But yeah, I think they should kind of like work on kind of building kind of new stuff rather than kind of going back to old stuff. But the same thing with like AEW with like Bash at the Beach or whatever, and it's kind of one of those ones where it's okay, cool, bit of like nostalgia, but like really build towards new things, I guess. So I don't really have a choice, really, unfortunately.
Fair enough. War Games go down quite well every year, of course, and that was a great idea to bring back. Miss Jess, anything that comes to mind for you?
Not really, but I would like to actually say something about this whole situation. Someone that is actually really, really standing out in NXT at the minute for me, and that's Shotzi.
Yes.
Oh, yes. My God. Stan Shotzi.
Absolute legend. Like, at the minute, well, it's been happening for a little while. She's been getting that push. Oh, it's been spectacular.
Let me ask you about Shotzi quite quickly. Shotzi, when she had her car stolen, I'm guessing, like everybody, you were heartbroken a little bit. And then they found the video of her and she got her helmet back. So, if you want to see pure joy on someone's face, that video of Shotzi Blackheart, I mean, I think anyone, even the coldest heart melted with that video.
I had a lump in my throat when she opened the boot and her helmet was there. It was just so, it was the feel good story of 2020.
Absolutely. It was the only thing she wanted back. She didn't get back nothing else. She just wanted her helmet back. It sounds more like a new one every time I say it. But yeah, okay. Shotzi Blackheart definitely needs a push. Definitely needs a push.
Oh, she's killing it. Absolutely killing it at the minute.
Absolutely. If we get the Women's Royal Rumble this year, please put her in the match. I'm begging you. She probably won't win it, but it'd be nice to see it in the match. I want them to resurrect the actual King of the Ring pay-per-view.
Yeah, I like that as well.
Because let's face it, the big old chair, which they could nowadays incorporate into the match, in one of the matches itself, because you could do it on a video game anyway, you couldn't do it in real life. I think that'd be really, really cool. King of the Ring was always one of my favourite events of the year. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, after Brock Lesnar won the damn thing, they never held it again as a pay-per-view.
My opinion on Brock Lesnar, Max knows this.
She loves him. She thinks he's the best wrestler ever.
Do you know what? I'm not going to lie. Like, you knew last year, I hated him so much. I've never hated someone so much. And then the Money in the Bank thing happened. I was fuming. And then I started to like him. And then the Rumble, I was like, I actually do quite like him. Now I'm missing him a little bit. And that's saying something.
What did I say to you, though? When we spoke about it? I said, when he goes away, you will miss him. And yeah, you do.
I have missed him. And I'm getting withdrawals about Brock Lesnar. But then, do you know what? I kind of, in a weird, weird way, miss Nia Jax. And now she's back. I'm like, nah, what was I thinking?
But that's the weird thing. I mean, we've gone off a little bit, but we'll stick with it. Brock Lesnar, we did the whole Brock party thing. I thought, first of all, okay, he's not just a meathead. He actually can do comedy. But then he actually does the whole, I've got a year to cash in. I didn't know. How can you not know? Said Paul Heyman. And good question. He's been cashed in on 3 times. How did he not know it lasts for a year?
Because he doesn't need to pay attention. He just shows up, wins, and leaves.
Show up, wreck everything, leave. Isn't
that's why he wanted to open WrestleMania. Because he wanted to get out of there.
I know. And it was a good event. It was a really, really good thing.
He actually had the most sense of anyone in the world. Rather than stick around for 7 hours of WrestleMania, get your match over, genius. Off you pop, beat the traffic.
Gets there before McDonald's closes.
You kicking nugs on the way home, yeah. And he's laughing.
I bet he is at home ready for EastEnders. He's ready to go.
If you were going to be the proper Brock, you would buy out all the chicken nuggets that the nearest McDonald's had so nobody could have any when they left WrestleMania.
I miss chicken nuggies sometimes. I do.
Or just buy them and then throw them. Just like as a bread, like Hansel and Gretel. Breadcrumbs.
Oh, Max. Right, so first, before we move, are you happy to see Halloween Havoc come back?
Yeah, absolutely. And the spin the wheel, make a deal. Brilliant. Love it.
Are we gonna get a Halloween Battle Royal? I'd like to see a Halloween Battle Royal, but an all male one, and they're all kind of dressed as different monsters.
I mean, perhaps
fancy dress party.
Fancy dress battle royal, but not a women's one, because that one is just done to hell. I want to see the men do it for a change.
Yeah, Johnny Gargano dressed as a sexy pumpkin.
Hey.
Oh hell yeah. Finn Balor as, well...
just in his birthday suit for you.
Hey.
Finn Balor as a windmill for you, Matt.
Max! Max, stop it!
He says stop it, but he's enjoying it too much.
He's nearly flipped his table over. That's how excited about that is.
Aren't you, Matt? You know who I really, really find attractive? And it's quite a I really fancy Ciampa.
How did we get to this?
I'm sorry. It's happening.
Okay.
Do you know who I like the mustache on Dexter Lumis.
Oh my god, don't get me started on him either. Let's just continue.
It's his eyes for me. I think he's got phenomenal looking eyes.
It's everything. Let's be real here.
Who is your crush at the moment, Conrad? Remind me.
Hey.
Who's your crush at the moment?
Well,
stupid,
I mean,
stupid, sexy.
Corbin.
No, we're not doing stupid, sexy Corbin. I genuinely don't know. I'm kind of leaning towards scary Konami, but don't tell Val because he will kind of come and fight me. He will find my front.
DM Val right now.
It's all good fun. Just to be honest, there's nothing wrong with that at all, obviously. How do we get onto that subject? Oh, yeah, Jess is how.
Sorry.
It's all good. You're
hashtag
like,
just blame Jess.
Just always blame me.
Yes, absolutely.
I ain't started on my John Cena situation yet, so let's just keep going, shall we? Can we discuss that he got married, people? Heartbroken.
Again, for the fourth time? Fifth time?
He's never been married four times.
He ain't been married.
He's catching it with Ric Flair. He'll be in love with him soon.
No, this is his first ever marriage, isn't it? Because he adamantly refused to marry Bella.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that would have been his second marriage. His marriage broke down beforehand.
Oh, did it? Oh, yeah. He'd never been married.
He cheated on his wife.
Do you know what actually got me about the story was everywhere that reported was saying, oh, he married his long-term girlfriend. They've been together like a year. And that's not long-term.
What do you call long-term then, Max?
I've been married 17 years this year.
That's
long-term.
Okay, Mrs. Mags, I pity you sometimes.
I pity you.
Mrs. Mags.
I pity you. She's going to one day wake up and think, why have I put up with this knobhead for so long? Get the fuck out.
I doubt it.
But at the same time, what do you class as a long-term relationship in general? How short?
A week.
A long-term relationship, I think, is anything longer than 6 months. That's a long period of time.
Yeah,
I'd say
enough.
I'd go
just,
three years.
Yeah, I thought more than a year and at least.
But basically, say in that context, though, being a long term girlfriend, you'd expect like 3 or 4 years. You'd have expected, but I suppose it depends on the context.
For me, it's like in the first at least 6 months, you're still learning about each other. You're still learning like each other's kind of like habits and nuances and stuff like that. That's when you start calling it long term, when you know pretty much everything about your partner.
Well, I've been living with Chris now for 2 months. We've been together for 18. Know each other nearly 2 years. So, you know, we're getting there. We're getting there, I think. And I'm still learning his habits.
That's almost a one-night stand, Matt.
Shut up.
Oh my God, I'm dead.
He did also record my snoring the other night as well, just so I can actually hear how loud I snored.
Oh, wow, he needs to upload that.
No, he's fucking not.
Yes, he does.
Visionary Global Media exclusive.
Yes.
Matt snores.
Just on a loop, like about a 45-minute loop of it.
If you want that, just listen to Bad Lad, it'll be fine.
Oh, we could do a remix.
I could be mean, but Bad Lad is actually a very, very, very good show. So.
Oh, actually, is it? As if you expected it to not be.
I'm saying you've
offended me now. Wrap it up.
Now I've offended you. Right, okay, so thank you very much to our very...
Actually does wrap it up as well.
To our very good friend Jess. Could you do me the honour of plugging your work and where people can get in touch with you on Twitter, etc.?
Oh, of course. So you can find me on the old YouTube at Just Jessie. You can find me on Twitter at Watches Jess. And then, yeah, you can find all my random stuff on there.
Absolutely fantastic. Lord Conrad, where can people get hold of you? Put your phone down.
He needs his phone out to ram off his spiel.
Okay. He's been in that one, actually.
No, I've actually memorised it. So you can follow me on Twitter, I suppose, at El Compacto Newt. You can follow Chops Kicks and Near Falls at CK Near Falls. Join our join us for a live charity watch along stream of the G1 finals at like 6 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. We're supporting Papyrus, the charity for preventing suicides amongst young people, and chopskickthenipple.com as always. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Fantastic, that is. I can't wait to watch along for the G1. Mags, who are you this week?
Well, this week, follow me at ChrisLewis37, where I will be soon releasing my partner snoring really, really loudly. I also pretend to do a show called Chris Talks Games. And then I also have a YouTube channel called Chris Reacts or Chris Reactor. One of them. Just come and check me out. I even sounded like him then, I think.
No, you did not. No, you did not.
I believe I did. Chris will be happy with that impression.
Says the man from Burnley.
Oh, here we go. You have to get racist about it.
Follow Mags at DEJ Kirkby. I'm being nice, you see. And obviously, find this show at Talk My Table. Find me at MadTech UK. Jess, thank you once again for gracing our little dog and pony show with your presence. You are amazing.
Thanks for having me.
You'll be back at some point for sure. We'd love to have you back. On behalf of Jess, Conrad, myself, and Mags,
we're out of here.
Bye-bye.
This podcast is a Mad Attack production for Visionaries Global Media.